Well, the gist of the question is this. It has to do with BGR, boy-girl relationship. And the gist of the question is, how far can we go in the dating? Can we hold hands? When can we hold hands? Can we hold hands? Can we kiss? Can we embrace? Then what else? Sorry? Yeah, it's about the behavior during so-called dating. If I tell you my view, you may not like me again. Well, this is especially knowing that you are growing up in a very Western kind of mindset. It's all the more tough. Nonetheless, I stand by what I say. It has nothing to do with any culture. I believe it's biblical, okay? So it's not, I'm not speaking as an Indian man or an Asian man or a Singaporean man or Australian man. I'm just speaking as a preacher of the Bible, okay? So you take it from me that way. Now, I think I do not believe dating as it is today is a biblical thing. What many boys and girls do is get someone who is willing to go out and go out, spend the night, play a fool, listen to worldly music, worldly movies, engage in whatever sensual things that they can do, and then try to get together again as many times as possible. But if somebody else who is better, more charming, more interesting, more intriguing comes around, chuck the person and say, sorry, that's it. I got no more time for you. And this they call dating. And this is a very wicked thing. Okay, there is no such thing in the Bible. Now, can a boy love a girl? Most certainly, I did just that. You know, I said, it matters that I did that because most Indians don't. Suresh didn't. He loved his wife only after the marriage. They were arranged marriage, okay? But I think what's most important is you love from the day you marry to the end. There's no point in saying, I loved her so much before my marriage, but now I cannot love. That's not what God wants. Do you agree? It's not romance before marriage, but romance after marriage, if there is anything like that. It has to be after marriage. Now I go back to your very specific questions. Can I hold hands? I mean, you shake hands with people. What's wrong? Nothing wrong. But if you are holding hands and walking around almost like a husband and wife, then I want to ask you, do you know what you're doing? Do you know what you're doing? I told you, you may not like me, okay? So I want to repeat that. You know, it would be very difficult. Let me say, as a father, I have a daughter. And she comes here, and one of the boys here likes her very much, and you get to know her, and then you try to get close to her, and she is a bit weak. Let's say she just allows you to be near. And then you take her hands and you walk around the campsite all over and you become very close and you declare yourself boyfriend, girlfriend. Then we go back to Singapore and then 2 months later you write to her, sorry, I have a girlfriend now. Thank you very much. What do you think? What do you think I feel? What do you think of my daughter? Is she so cheap? If another boy who liked my daughter sees this whole thing, would hesitate sometimes, But I know today the world doesn't bother about all these things. No matter what, it's okay. I'm also like that, so it doesn't matter. I understand that. But that's not godly, you know. That's not spiritual. Just because you hold hands, I don't think you have committed a sin. Okay, I don't think so. But you must understand, if you hold hands and then let go, that's a very shameful thing. If you say to a person, I love you, please love that person. Otherwise, don't say it. Love is not something that changes with situations. Love is to be steadfast. And I want you to be very clear about this. You know, I don't believe in what's going on today. A boy takes a girl out, talk to her for a while, and that's okay if you are just friends, just go out, you know, have a cup of tea, you talk with other friends and so on. Nothing wrong. But if you start to give the person the impression that I'm truly interested in you, and you then say words like, I love you, and you're going to start a relationship, and you hold the person's hand to affirm that love, and then you drop that hand, I doubt your sincerity. You can never marry a perfect person. Do you agree? You can never marry a perfect person. Even the person whom you marry, after a while you think, why did I marry? Then you must say, Lord, give me grace to love this lady or love this man. Right? Sometimes you tell in your heart, if you don't say it loud, this is a stupid man. Ayo. It's a stubborn fellow. Ayo. You know? And sometimes you say it also, I know that. But it is a choice you made to love that person to the end, as Christ loved the church. Christ loved us unconditionally, isn't it? So if you want to have a life partner, you pray about it and pray that the Lord would let you see a mature Christian or a maturing Christian, not a backsliding Christian, okay? But a maturing Christian, maturing in prayer, maturing in devotion to God's word, maturing in obedience, maturing in service. Pray for such a person and don't yield to any other temptation to choose someone else. You must be a man of principle. You must be a woman of principle, godly principle. And then your choices will be right. You know what I mean? Now, I thank God for my girlfriend. She was the only girlfriend I ever had, and she is my wife, and she will be the only girlfriend, I think. Sometimes she asks me, do you marry if I die? I said, well, the Lord said it's okay. Then she said, will you really do it? I said, no, I don't think at this time, I don't think I will marry another. She said, why not? I said, I've got 3 kids, you know. If I marry another woman and I have another child, then there'll be a lot of problems. You know, I will just love our children and live that. Enough. You have given me enough. That's enough. I mean, that's what I say. I hope I don't change my mind. Maybe I talk too fast. I don't know. But anyway, of course, it's only till death do us part. But, and it must be clear. You know, I told my wife in our courtship days, I said, look, I'm interested in you, but I will not tell you I love you until I'm sure. So we keep our distance. The moment, because my parents opposed my marriage to a Chinese girl, because I came from India, they wanted me to marry an Indian girl. I always wanted to marry an Indian girl. But it's just that, you know, things have changed and God brought a very godly girl into my life and I met her in the Bible college and she wanted to serve God wherever the Lord would send and I started to love her in my heart. So I had to clear with my parents before I really say yes to her. If I say yes to her and then I say, oh no, sorry, I got to please my parents. I can't. I'm going to break her heart. I knew that very well. So I said, you wait, I'll come back to you. I talked to my parents, they said no. I asked them why. you know, we have different cultures, it just won't work. So I said, Dad, Mom, you are Christians, you know, if God has saved her, it should be okay. But they were under pressure of relatives and, you know, the cultural setting they are in. They kept saying no. But I was very determined to marry her because my love for her was ever increasing. Though we did not get that close in talking or going out or anything. I loved her. She loved me too. I knew that. But I have to. Then finally, I started to do something. I start writing a defense of why a Christian of one race can marry a Christian of another race. And actually, it was a letter to my parents. And it was a 20-page long letter. It's a Bible thesis. I really did it and sent to my parents and said, see, I truly believe it is biblical. And my heart is moved. And she's willing. Please don't oppose. My father said, I have no more argument with you. But we are not coming for your wedding. So I prayed. Then Reverend Timothy Toh called me. Because my dad sent to him a letter saying that, please send him back. So Reverend Timothy Toh asked me, what's your name? I said, Das. All right. I mean, I gave him my full name, Prabhudas Koshi. He said, no, the name that I normally call it. Das. Okay, now read it from the back to the front. Sad. Then he said, I have a sad news for you. Your dad wants you to go back. He just kept quiet. Then he asked me, are you sure this is God's will for you to marry her? I said, I think so. Do you love her? Yes. Then write to your dad, I'm going to solemnize your wedding. I'm not sending him back. Whoa, happy. At least I got a good pastor to solemnize me. So I wrote a letter and said, Dad, I'm going to send an air ticket for Dad and Mom. Both of you must come. Because you don't allow me to come back home to get married. I'm going to get married here, but you must come. No, son, don't waste your time. We are not coming. But on the day of wedding, my dad sent a fax saying, son, we are not going anywhere. We are sorry we are not there because of all the difficulties we have here. We can't please everybody here. Nonetheless, we are thankful to God that you are marrying a Christian girl and we will pray the whole day for both of you. Then I said, oh, that's far better. They're praying for me instead of sitting here eyes wide open looking at all things. They're going to pray for me, so that's better. So I went down for marriage with much comfort. It was a very heavy heart that day morning. But you see, I'm not putting myself up as the paragon of true love or anything. It's Christ, okay? I'm far short of God's glorious love. But I just want to let you know, when you do things carefully, wisely according to God's word, you will never regret. And nobody else feels sad because of your wrong choices. Isn't that right? I want to ask every man here, every young person, and every young girl, do you want to be a reason for somebody else's misery and sorrow? Then make wise choices, careful choices. And know God's will before you act. Don't be presumptuous Christians. Hurting others. Okay, please do that. And now I also want to tell you, life, relationships can never be perfect. Because you yourself is not perfect. Sometimes you think it's the other person's mistake, but it can be plainly your own mistake. Your wrong perception of things, your misjudgment, and your own wrong ideologies. And so, you've got to be extremely patient and prayerful if a relationship has to work, whether it's before or after. So, with these very cardinal facts that I relate to you, I want to say to you, please act holy. Okay? Avoid temptations during your courtship. Now, I believe in short courtships, not long ones. Drag over the years, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then fall into temptations and fornication and all the sinful things happening. If you are in love and if you are of mature age, so you should not work this out before you are of age, okay? You wait until you are ready for marriage. When you are closer to that age, you start praying for a life partner and God provides. And then you work toward marriage quickly. As soon as you get a godly person, you work out your marriage quickly. All right? So you avoid all temptations. Avoid all these worldly stuff, you know, romantic things that people do, because they can lead to many sins. And so avoid it, keep yourself pure. All right. That's my answer to you. If you have any personal questions, you may ask me in private. Okay. Any other questions? We have time? Or the time is up? We still have enough an hour. So I think you better ask Reverend Koo now. Anything? No more.